Okay, so I guess everyone's back. So we're just gonna summarize the main points from our presentation and the workshops.
Yeah. And thank you also attending to workshop. You were awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, to summarize, there was a question, what is an appreciative system? So what we say it shortly, it's a description of ongoing process of sense making over time, means like giving kind of meaning for thing system. So the people use judgment in the planning process, which needs to be adapted to the transformation in society to achieving desirable futures. In this process we use appreciative judgment, which is making judgment of the state of the system, valuing the state of the system, and taking the best possible action. And planning is shortly said is about creating future of a system with certain goals, objectives, ideals. And what is crucial for appreciative systems is interactive planning that works as on the principle of idealized redesign of a system. Systems that can be also described as social institutions, they constantly shape our perceptions on the world and how we see the future, as you noticed in the group of Petra. And appreciative judgment, we see it's for everyone. Everybody can get some use of this way of thinking. But when we read this text, at least I got the idea that it's especially for engineers and designers, professions that are creating the change in a material, built material and in the built environment.
Okay.
You can add for my summary.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now I guess you guys are divided in your original groups, right? So who are the people who are supposed to
challenge us?
This group, and was it that group? Okay.
Perfect. Which group numbers are you? Sorry. Group.
We're four.
You're four?
We're seven.
Seven, okay.
And maybe before that, if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask if something was left unclear.
We also welcome all comments.
Yeah. Or if something pops into your mind while we do the challenge thing, go for it. Yeah?
Can you explain a little bit about the word appreciative?
Yeah. Well, that's how we understood it, I think, was like appreciating something, kind of valuing it in a way of giving meaning to something. And in like appreciative systems, then again, systems are social institutions, they can be whatever. So giving meaning to systems and within systems. So basically, that's how we understood it.
And
that's
to human relationships.
Yeah.
But we felt that the word was challenging. We had a discuss about it, but it wasn't right there.
Is any of the systems that you have been talking about, is it only for humans? We discussed this in the very shortly over there. If it's only for humans, or if it also entails any other animals or plants, or is it only because it's about active choices and it's about human relations, as you mentioned, does it only consist of human relations? Or
since it's about decision making, and it's well, mostly the idea is to be used in future studies and scenario making, which means for human. But also in the discussion we had the talking about open systems, then that is something different, which could be anything. guess you are already familiar with the concept of open system. I can give you an example that was used in the article. It was about a river. We all heard that this statement that say you never can walk inside a river twice. And it want to note the time that the river is the second time that you walk in a river is not the river in first time. But Vickers discussed that no, that's not true. That statement, which is popular, is not true. Because in an open system, in a system, we use the word of river reflecting the form of the system, not the water, not the the thing inside. So the form is always there. So we walk in the same river again. This was something that a very bright idea for me that I got. I wanted to say here. Mm-hmm. So that's about open systems, but this scenario making, you know, I guess it's only about him.
Do you believe in this perspective to systems thinking and like social systems by yourself? And like, do you think that it serves the motivations of a certain group or a certain stakeholder? I don't know, in an organization or a business or whatever. Like, does it make sense to you? What you were reading, where you're like, okay, yeah, I totally agree. Or what do you think about it? Is it objective? Or like neutral in its nature.
All of this?
Well, like
or like this specific
like
stop.
Well, when I was talking about like appreciative judgment and appreciative systems, like the thought that everything has like all the concepts and like the acts within a system and the code of conduct in a way that they're that they happen in. Have attached meaning to them, maybe that fact or like the perspective that you take when you look at systems that way.
Does anyone feel very passionate about it? Should I just go ahead and go? Like all of this and like systems thinking and this, I think it's a way to explain the world. And it's a way of thinking, and it's a like school of thought to me. And a lot of it, if you think about it, a lot of the stuff makes sense. Many people have thought about this a lot and come up with this, like try to rationalize everything. So in that sense, there's of course some truth to it, but it's just a representation of this, which does exist, and everyone has their own how you make up reality in your head. So this is just a representation of that. But the like a lot of the concepts are really good. What you can take out, for example, judgment. I think, well, in the workshop, and like what I read, I think the most cool thing about it is that it explains that you can improve your judgment. So that it changes. And you can improve. So if today I start with I'm at this level in my judgment and I think I'm always going to be here, but that's not the case. I can actually study it, examine it, improve it, and thus improve my judgment, improve myself. So in that sense, like I don't think you should ever take any of these like as the truth, but like try to look at it from like step back a little, and just see that, hey, it's just one way of talking about these things that are universal.
Yeah, and they're gonna and these to understanding these theories that doesn't maybe in the beginning make much sense or seem useless, maybe even. But when you go through this, you can understand how you can improve your judgments for example, as a designer or engineer.
So do you think, when you're talking a lot about improving your judgment, that that was like one of the main takeaways from this, the papers that you studied? Like, do you think that maybe learning how to improve your judgment and understand it was one of the main takeaways from this, since it's just come up a lot of times?
What do you exactly mean by
I think it was like, it's just a cool word to focus on because it's very different from the thing you that pops into your head when you hear judgment, and it's quite a code word for everything in here because you see it a lot. So in that sense, I think
the point is that what I understood from the papers was that this is what is happening. They're just trying to theorize it, you know, just describe it, what is happening. For example, this appreciative judgment, the article says that, or the speaker says that, if you want to, well, we all want to do decision making, and if you want to improve your decision making or be aware of what you are doing, what is happening that you are doing these three steps, it's clear. First we just observe to understand what is the situation, and then we see what are the problems, what we find out not desirable, and then we try to improve it, to change it, to use our resources to make a better situation. So it's just theorizing what is happening really, but when you are aware of what the process is, then you do it awarely. You do it on purpose, and you do it more detail or yeah. So there were examples that could clarify the theory, but just because of the time, we didn't include them in the presentation. So if we have time, finally, we can go to that examples.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Well, yeah, I'm having a lot of your thoughts as well. But I was just, thinking a lot about the, how do you, attach value? Like, even now that you said that, oh, it's, kind of describing the reality, and maybe in really simple systems it would be like that, but I was just thinking if each one of us, for example, would describe what is happening in this room, so I think the answers would be pretty different.
So I think good, by the way.
Yeah, and then what should be the value thing, but then, I don't know. Do you think it is actually possible in reality to often do it in these three steps? Because for me it seems I don't know, that people are so easily attaching value to something that maybe at first you would think that, oh, it's just describing the thing, but yeah.
Well, just more understanding what is happening, in planning also, that what you plan to do or what you judge and make a decision, it's always affecting. So it's just you don't have to sit and judge everything. You can just understand the way it acts with the other decisions and judgments.
And it's, as it was said, it was balance between the reality and the value to judge, and that's why he is talking about art of making judgment, because it's, and that's why it's related to human and history, and the article I read was related also how much you have experience and what kind of importance is also to include in judging the experience of people, that you might make a wrong judgment if you are very new in your profession.
Actually, that was another thing. Can I just say this? About the good judgment? Would you say that, that a judgment is good, when you have more, kind of more experience or, I read somewhere,
I read from it was stating that.
Yeah, that's also what I was thinking. So is there, when we talk about good judgment, it's how it's related to a lot of other systems, for example, designer, that, okay, you have to, don't know, like think about how it fits maybe the market or like how to make it look good or how to make it better. So it's like linking it to all these things. So it's, is it that what makes judgment or it's influence?
So it's like so like because you look at it from
like because it is, it is so subjective. In the article I read, it's like, it's like if you have good judgment, you can't really, like a designer can have good judgment. Like it's the same as saying that, oh, she has good character, you know?
Yeah.
It is so vague, but it and the article I read, it tried to sort of demystify it and make it a bit less vague.
Mm-hmm.
By introducing this, you know, how do you measure it or how do you examine it to make it less vague and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just think that we're thinking about judgment, but it's just judgment in our own personal way. But how would a company do if they're gonna like, okay, we're gonna base our thinking about the judgment, like would a company have their own like way of seeing something collaborative? Did they say anything about that? Or like how can they define judgment? So,
can you
it feels like it's such a subjective thing, so if the company will actually say future things, the company have their own subjective way of looking up how they want to perceive.
I don't think the readings directly would answer your question, but I think at least the articles that I read, it was more about, for example, the Sense and React business model, that you have to react to the changes in the environments, and kind of based on that and your judgment, you change the planning processes in your company. So you don't make you make judgments based on how you see the society. But obviously, I mean, your question was, if in a company there's different people with different judgments,
yeah,
right?
Who are you?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because I at least didn't feel like the articles, well, they didn't really talk about that, but they didn't reply to that either.
Well, yeah, in the article that I talked about, it talked about it a bit.
Okay.
But, first thing that I wanted to add to your comment was that if you have a goal, you define a goal for yourself. Or like you are an organization. We go to who you are in the organization later. But you are an organization, and you want to develop yourself, or you have a certain goal for your recent future. So you want to step towards that. How you plan to go towards that? These are needed there. But about who you are in the organization. The article divided, like, of course, in every case it's different and should be specified, but a general thing, you can divide the organization's body, the people that are working there, and then the leadership, the management, that special core who decide, and then another group would be professionals, specialists. If you you may, they might be external group that you just employ for that specific goal, that you want to do this and you want some people in scenario making, or they could be inside internal your organization to do this for you all the time.
Did you have a slide about like the difference between decision and judgment?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you tell more about that? Like, how do you, is there like equal, or like, can you say that a decision is a judgment?
More.
Mm-hmm.
More.
Sorry about this. I'm a new user, so I don't really.
Sorry
about
that. So, the decisions
only
like inside judgment.
Yes,
yeah.
It was said also before this that the judgments includes at least three decisions.
Yeah. So that's like the bigger
process, and decisions are just many parts of it. A quick comment on the when you asked about the company thing. I think also your role in, like, the role you're operating in affects your judgment, because you have to make those decisions in a company according to your role. So although you're you, but you're operating in a certain role of yours.
And like Rika was saying, that we had discussions about the word judgment. So what do you think about that term? Is it like proper for describing this, or should it be something else? Because we were kind of like,
the word was
the
used
word.
Sometimes just neutral, not valuing the thing. In some state, you just observe, you just see what is happening. So you don't give any value to that. It's not judgment that we use in our daily conversations.
They use just a, like a bit of an awkward word for it, and it was in the article that it hinders the academic research or talk around that topic, because people get so like. Misled and freaked out about the word judgment. It's actually like a really good. Somebody ruined the word judgment, like, I don't know when, but
it was that lady there.
Just describes the whole, like, when you balance and weigh out all the options.
Maria, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, do you think this model is overly optimistic that people will make a good decision based on judgment, even like if they go through the judgment process and know that one of like a certain direction is the good direction, will they even act upon that because of external pressures? Like the expression in English against better judgment, people use that all the time because they still make bad decisions even though they do better because of other pressures. Do you think?
Okay, I can add I think because it improves with you, because it's an individual thing, so it improves with your improvement, like your own personal. Yes, you can make very awful decisions and poor judgments, and then you just, when you change, because one of the things about it is that it's related to a certain scenario or a time, or time specific and it's scenario specific. So when you change and you improve or get worse, so does it's just it reflects on your everything.
And also, like, because life is uncertain, even if you're making good judgment decisions, maybe the environment changed and it's not good anymore. So that's why it was also, I was speaking about planning, that it's interactive planning. We have to be ready to make some judgments again. And it's not like it used to be that we decided something and just execute it and then look for good or bad. We have to be ready to react.
I think it might also be a different use of the word judgment, because for me, like, I know I shouldn't go to McDonald's because it's super unhealthy. However, it's super tasty. So it's still, my judgment is still for my happiness level, it's good. So judgment, this kind of judgment is still like, I will do it. But maybe the more academic or logical judgment would be that it's a bad thing. So I'm thinking it's a different.
Well, in that case though, you are still, like, you're making a judgment, but you're not changing, like, you're still going to McDonald's. You're not changing. So does the model imply that there should be, that there always is a change?
I think it's the same.
If I would know.
I think my article was strictly about designers and their judgment and becoming a better designer is to improve your judgment, thus improving yourself as a designer. So I think you definitely, like, improve your, like, you know, the happiness you definitely was satisfied, or like, but the one crucial part is the role you're taking that process as. You weren't like fitness, you were.
What is your aim or goal to become happy or improve the world?
I'm not sure if that this is related to that, but like if, because it kind of seems like the model or the theory suggests that over time, like when we evolve and the systems evolve, they improve. So like if we look at the state of the world, that's like, so how, like, I'm just wondering how the containing goals are defined in any of these models, because like obviously if you think about the decisions and the planning that has been made over the past centuries, it's not been very successful. So like, maybe it's also a question of,
in
which
perspective they are not successful, what is, in what perspective is not successful?
Well,
it depends
on
your aim and whose
aim
it is.
Like, I totally get that, and I would say change. When I said improvement back there, I was just like making it interesting for us, because it, like, it's nice to think that, oh, I'm me and I improve, but it, to just replace the word improvement with change, because the fact is that it's always different, so there's change to either direction.
Yeah,
it's not the same, and that's, it makes it problematic to study it because it's never the same.
Yeah. Do you think that this, like, in all of its, like, because this is obviously more like socially oriented and like human oriented, and then if we think about traditional foreign systems thinking, do you think that this is actually a better or a worse, like, like representation of reality, like does it actually describe it better or worse? Because if we take, like, if we start to think about meaning that is attached to every single thing in the world, I don't know if that's, like, if that actually represents the reality anymore. Like, that's a really complicated question, sorry. But I'm just like thinking
no,
about
cool.
Soft and hard.
I have an answer, but I'm trying to shut up, so to give it. When you don't talk, you hear so much more, so that's what I'm doing. Other than
that. About improving, I wanted to say that improving just become meaningful when you define a purpose. Improve to what? If the sustainability situation didn't go the direction that today we judge it as wrong direction, that's why now we have something in our mind. If, like in industrial age, they had some other goals, so they were improving themselves toward their own goals, but we judge it today as different. That's why, as my friends told, we have to just repeat all this process again and again over time, because our goals are changing. And the situation outside is changing, so.
Well, to that, because this is more applied and more in depth versus to the. Did you mean like with the hard systems thinking theory? Did you mean like the more general theories?
Yeah, and like what we went through in the previous course, and also like what doesn't really include maybe dialogue or like a point of view of human beings or motivations, or it's just more of a like everything would be neutral for representation.
Yeah. Well, in comparison, I think the hardcore one is easier to work with because it's not so applied, so there's a lot more room for you to fit it into your own worldview, whereas this already goes so much deeper and gives you all these, like, oh, this means this, and this means this, and this doesn't mean that, but this. So I think, you know, if you, it depends on what you want to work with. But the previous works nice as well to fit the world.
I was just thinking that even taking this goal of sustainability or towards sustainability is might be an improving level for the humanity, whole society of us, which we gained it. How? Why it's different from our perception from 100 years ago? Just it seems that all this process is happening in a wider, in a way bigger scale. We tried and we did decision making and we acted and we got the results, so we define new goals. And we're just improving ourselves now. This bigger containing hope that we are in now.
Yeah. I think Maria, you had a question.
I was just thinking studies, and I was just thinking, like, even the future is very subjective. We assume that it's like going a certain direction because of science, but we don't know for sure. And I think that's why you personally mentioned that, like, the world. So how can we, in terms of like planning for the future,
different methods for like predicting the future, and as we've seen, they've been wrong. The planet is round and it's not flat and stuff. I mean, but I think the interactive planning is the best way the author at least presents.
Mm-hmm. One point was that sometimes our questions in these future studies are not obvious or clear for ourselves. And this process will also help to do that. Like when you do the sense making step, you should talk and think about future, what will happen. And then your questions would be clear. And the article also pointed out that sometimes the most important thing is not finding answers to the questions, just finding the best questions is the like tricky thing to do. So if we don't know what we want to know, then how should we get answers?
I have a bit of a random thought. It's not really a question or anything. I'm just going to blurt it out there and see whatever you think of it. What we are reading for this course is about different levels of systems, and well, from the ranging from the self organizations and supernatural organizations, all of that doesn't matter. But I was trying to kind of look at this and place it in other levels of systems. So, for example, in a cell, you can kind of say that the same thing is going on, but then not maybe actively or consciously. Just for example, if a cell needs, doesn't have enough oxygen, it can say, like, it should be, my level should be higher, so what I'm going to do now, I'm going to take it from the blood, take more oxygen. So it's still, it's, they look at, or the cell look at what is, what should be, and what, like, it takes action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still kind of a similar thing, except for maybe that it's not conscious. So it could be, this is all about humans, but it could also be maybe looked at through other levels of systems.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting it out there.
No, that's quite true. It's just a matter of survival.
Yeah.
But if it comes to be conscious, to do the decision making, then that's conscious.
But like self doesn't plan, doesn't like see the consequences if it takes air or not. So it's like, and that's one of these.
But it's still kind of like the same thing. Like even though it doesn't plan,
it doesn't have desired future, so what it wants to do.
Yeah, but I do agree that it's like ultimately everything is just the same thing. It's just different, like same but different. You know, but it's like it is the same thing. It needs to live and then it does live. I think you can find a lot of the like same thing, and then you just find it and it looks a bit different, but it's the same thing. You find it there, and this and this and that.
I think that this theory of appreciation system was initiated in like something like 1980s. What would happen before that? People were doing decision making. That is something conscious and exactly in the same context, but the theory just came later to describe what was happening. So that's true.
Decision is a narrow term than judgment. But in our previous experience, we usually judge something and then we decide it is good or not, right? But you said decision is, do you think that decision is a similar term of judgment, or it is just a part of judgment?
I guess in this one it means that the decision is within the judgment. When I'm judging, I'm thinking like, oh, she's this, and then the decision, and then blah, 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 and then it comes to judgment. But then after the judgment, you make a new decision.
Yeah.
It's inside of a judgment.
Yeah, but it's, I think it's like related to this, what they said, that the term is a little bit confusing. But the judgment that we are talking about is this, based on this theory of Vickers, and it includes this valuing and reality, and the instrumental aspects. It's before there, maybe you can put it. It's, so I think you can define judgment in a different way, in different contexts as well, but this is how we, in this system perspective and appreciative systems, we understand judgment. And important is to understand also that judgment in this context, it's like always includes the time perspective. You have to think about the future and past, and it's not just like I decide now to do something, I choose kind of, it's not that, but you judge according to certain based information and so on.
I had one more small question. Where did you get the definition of wisdom? Because you had that
it's in the book Acuff's Inside the Nature of Planning.
Okay, thank you.
So I forgot.
Do you have
some related to this her last question. I want to say that this judgment, first it has some alternative terms to use instead of that, or like we could say sense making instead of reality judgment, then maybe it make it more sense making. And valuing, which could be used as valuable judgment, and just then decide and taking action instead of instrumental judgment. It is not that clear. And then what is happening is that we do these judgments, and it's not just a linear set of things. It could be circular. Judgment, decision, and again, judgment and decision. So it's a very tricky to say, but this is the term that articles use, judgment and decision, to make it clear. So maybe in some other context they change the word.
Thank you.
That was good, both on the presentation, the workshop, and on the criticism, on the feedback. I appreciate, and appreciation is actually an interesting term, and it could be translated from English into other contexts. I'm going to talk a little bit and give you some context, because the group covered a lot of material. And there's a lot of fine points in here that that it takes a while to get through. And so one of them is the word appreciation. So have you ever heard of art appreciation? So art appreciation doesn't mean that you make the art. It means that when you look at the art, you can appreciate it, right? As opposed to saying, well, I don't appreciate that. I don't understand that art. So in the discussion about, and someone actually brought up in the challenge group about hard systems thinking. So I'll give you a little bit of background on this, which is before the 1980s, people used to do things very rationally. And so they would just, you know, do a study, do the numbers, and then go out and would start using that, but then people wouldn't appreciate actually what was being done. And so how is it that you appreciate or understand a little bit about how they're done? One of the things that you hinted at, which was a fine point that that comes up, and this is a debatable one, is Vickers has an article or a book, and it's called Human Systems Are Different. And so some of the discussion that we were getting here was about whether human systems are the same, or are the human systems different. And within the systems community, you have people that say, oh no, what we do has nothing to do with other types of systems. So Michael Jackson, who does critical systems theory, who some of you may have read about, is one of the people. He's actually the editor of Systems Research and Behavioral Science, and he says, has nothing to do, like, the systems we're talking about have nothing to do with any other type of systems. The only type we focus on are social systems. So there's this debate within the groups. Now, what happens with the Vickers background was he was talking about public policy and making decisions at a government level. So one thing that you, in the mix-up between judgment and decision, so this is something you would never have read, but something that has helped me, in the adaptive enterprise work, when I was working with Steve Heckel when he was teaching at IBM, we had another instructor come in who was doing consulting work and is also in the system thinking community, and he had this definition, which is a decision is an irrevocable allocation of resources. And it's pretty interesting when you make that definition, because you go into a meeting and then you say, do we make a decision? Or do we not make a decision? And if you actually use that, well, did we allocate any resources? So we decided that we're going to have a meeting tomorrow, everyone's going to come in, then yes, that is an allocation of resources, they're all going to come in. Are we going to spend money doing this? But if you go and you say, you came into the meeting and said, we're going to do something, at the end of the meeting, no one's done anything, and there's no plan, then you haven't made a decision. So judgment is something that happens prior to decision making. And so the reason that that Vickers was saying that judgment is narrower, decision-making is narrower than judgment, is because there are many more judgments that happen, but because a decision is made at a certain point and then you move forward from that, then there are fewer decisions than there are judgments. Everyone in the room has a different judgment about the situation we're in, but when we decide as a group, well, this is the way we're going to move forward, that's a decision. Okay? So that's not the fault of this group, that you didn't pick that up. It's a very, very fine point, and it only comes to people that work in planning. So no points against you on that. No points against you on anything, actually. let's see, what else do I have? One of the things that was also subtle that they wouldn't pick up, there's an expression which I don't know if people have heard, that plans are useless, planning is essential. Plans are useless, planning is essential. And so it goes back to military times, because when they say plans are useless, any general will tell you as soon as you are on the field, you're in the fog of war. So any plans they made before they went to battle, they're all over. But if you go to the field unprepared, you did not plan, then you're going to be in big trouble, right? So this is actually, there's a duality or a tension between the planning work that Russell Acuff did and the adaptive enterprise stuff that Steve Heckel did. And again, this is people doing planning, and it happens in urban planning, it happens in corporate planning, but people make the mistake of saying, this is the plan. And you go, no, the world has changed, the environment has changed, planning is essential, but plans are useless. So in Steve Heckel's case, what he was trying to do was design an enterprise as a system. In the sense we have here. Steve Heckel's the guy that put me on the path for system thinking in the first place, because I couldn't understand what he meant. But people, when they design, sometimes they design for outputs, sometimes they design for inputs, but if you design for a whole system, then in effect you're designing for everything all the way through. So, that's a really fine point. Brought up the mess. How many of you have heard of wicked problems? Okay, a mess is a wicked problem. These all terms came out at the same time, and it is also called a problematique. And in problematique in French translate into a system of problems. So essentially the issue you have, when you have a problem, it's not just usually a problem, it is a system of problems. So the way to solve a system of problems is a redesign of the whole system, not just fixing the problem. But those of you who have read about wicked problems are not repeatable, there's no ending, there's no beginning, and so you come in and Acuff is the one that brought up this phrase, mess. Because usually that's what happens, is you have a mess, you don't know where to start, you don't know where to end, but you have to make a judgment, and you have to move forward. You're going to have a plan, or you have to do planning. You probably have to have a plan, but then you may have to adapt the plan as you go along. So you end up in this loop. The interactive planning problem. So there's different states or different dispositions that Acuff describes, and the idea behind planning being interactive. If I could take you back to the military example again about the field general, when you get onto the field, when you're on the field, you are doing interactive planning. The enemy is coming at you, all of a sudden the enemy comes from a different direction. You deal with that, you negotiate with the environment at that point. And so the other senses that Acuff had, one was reactive planning, and what happens in a reactive is that you don't even think about it, you just react, and it's not a conscious thing. There's also preactive, where people are over-planning and trying to think about the future, But Acuff has this idea in idealized design that is really fine, which is designing for the present. So if we're going to create, in Toronto we're actually looking at another subway line. If we're going to create another subway line, there's the plan and there's planning, but if you leave the room and you haven't made any decisions about whether you're going to put the subway in the ground or not put the subway in the ground, you haven't made any movement. The idea behind interactive planning would be that let's design something for right now. So it could be that we have to budget for digging the hole in the ground. That's a decision, that's an action, and it's interacting with the present. If you don't interact with the present, then you're always trying to do something in the future, and a lot of you know things just happen, the future keeps sliding, things never happen. And so there is the what Acuff calls the sin of omission as compared to the sin of commission. So when people don't do things, they generally don't get penalized, but when they do something wrong, they do get penalized. So when you're talking about planning and committing and decisions, you want people to make the decision now and not put things off, because the system has this bias towards, oh, I'm going to get caught, I'm going to be the bad guy because I made that decision. But what you have to do in making, creating the appreciative system is break those things down. So what is the reality right now? What is the value right now? And what is the implementation? What can I do right now? Okay? I know you're taking all this stuff in. And you're like, oh, my head's starting to spin. But this is the reason that I've asked you to do the blogging. What I'd like you to do is the questions, everything is running inside your head now, blog it. Because if we share across the class, I'm pretty sure you're all going to see that there were ideas that were kind of there, but not quite there. There's some things you got, okay, I got it, and this is something I can use right away. But this is very personal to you. So we spent a day now on system thinking. This is number one of 6 days, a whole 6 hours together. And you're gonna. And what is it that you learned? What is it that you think? And if you, the reason I wanted you to focus on the appreciative system is because I want you to break it down to three parts. What's real for you? So some people like this. Some people don't like it. It's like, that's fine. Either way, if it doesn't resonate with you, if anything, what is it that's wrong with this? What is real? Because these are all models that people have made up. And its ways of seeing the world. The second one is value. Does it help you do something? You know, is it high value for you? Is it low value? You could never use this again. You know, you're not a planner, so it doesn't really matter. Or, you don't get into the judgment game. And the third part, instrumental. Is there anything that you could think about in your practice? And some of you come from a design standpoint, some from engineering, some from business. How is that you would use this or not use this? You could just say, it's not useful to me. That's fine. But I'd like to wrap all those up. The mechanics for doing that, I had written here. Okay, so facts. Are things hanging together for you? Significance, which is resonating for you? The potential action, which is instrumental? Where in the system of ideas? Okay. So for those of you who haven't done a blog yet, you can sign up a blog. And I will start a thread on this group in Google+, for those of you who haven't seen it. So I'm here all the time. There's various posts. JP already posted one, if you haven't seen that. You can see my comments. So one thing, JP, where's JP? Okay. So one thing, JP, on his blog, he doesn't actually have comments turned on, so I couldn't leave comments on his blog, and so I had to leave the comments here, which is kind of okay, but better if I didn't have to do that.
see what this says. Yeah. So, anyway, I left the comments here because, but I preferred it because if you have a comment section on your blog, I can leave more comments for you over there. Okay. Okay. If you are uncomfortable blogging in public, you can blog on Moodle. I will check both places. The due date for all of this is noon Thursday. So I don't want you to do a whole lot of work. Actually, I don't know if you guys find this, have you ever heard the expression, if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter note? It's actually a lot harder to write short than just to write long. We had some discussion. Miko had said to me, oh, these, you know, the more they write, the more you have to read and grade. And I'm going, no, I'll read it all. I read it all. I read this stuff. I said, firstly, English is my first language, so I have advantage over some people. I just want you to write, and I will read it. I will make comments. The reason that I'd like you to do it by Thursday at noon is because by the end of Thursday, I will have made comments on all the people that made it in by noon. And when you come on Friday, I'll give you the overview about how people were doing and some threads I saw, some commonalities. Okay? Any questions? Okay. If you have any questions, you can email me. My address is there. If you're on Google Plus, you can actually instant message me on Google Hangouts. I'm usually around and I receive messages that way. And we'll see groups two and three on Friday, right? Thank you for a great day. Thank you.